If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
CBS Mornings on this Tuesday. I'm Gayle King.
I'm Tony DeCoppo.
And I'm Nate Burleson.
Even as we are in the middle of a battle against the Omicron variant, more than 5.4 million Americans tested positive last week. That is a new record. But take a look at this. New York City's numbers are dropping and dropping fast in terms of both cases and hospitalizations. That's a big deal because New York was one of the first places hit hard by the variant. And it follows a similar trajectory in South Africa, where Omicron was first discovered. And as our Deborah Pata shows us, that is good news there that could be a sign of better times ahead in this country.
After just 8 weeks since the world first heard about Omicron, discovered here in South Africa, the country's wave has dropped as sharply as it had risen. And there's been very little interruption to people's lives. Children remain in school. Restaurants are busy, and the city is bustling. Omicron quickly became the focus of global anxiety. Infection spread here with ferocious speed. Within days, South Africa was the epicenter of the disease, and then, well, not much at all.
We've monitored the same COVID ward throughout the pandemic. During the Omicron wave, it's as if it's a completely different hospital. Half empty, very few patients requiring oxygen, and the staff are under a lot less pressure.
It was the complete opposite just 6 months ago during the country's battle with the Delta variant. Then this same hospital was overwhelmed.
You are a human being before you become a nurse. So seeing people dying like that is very, very hard.
That was exhausted COVID nurse Justice Mangala speaking to us then. This time round, he can count the deaths on one hand.
I'm a little bit at ease now that we have got this second line of defense, which is our vaccine.
It's the vaccine and previous infections that have boosted South Africa's immunity to the virus, explains vaccinologist Professor Shabri Amadi. And that has dramatically reduced severe illness and death.
The Omicron wave now accounts for less than 5% of all of the deaths that has occurred due to COVID-19 since the start of the pandemic.
Marty believes that while there will still be many more variants, the acute phase of the pandemic, at least here in South Africa, with its devastating death toll, could be over.
I'm highly optimistic that we have reached a turning point of this pandemic. I can't see us revisiting what we experienced during the course of the first three waves in South Africa. And in fact, I'm optimistic in most other countries.
Some high-income countries have cautioned against relying too much on the South African data, but scientists like Professor Mardi battle to understand their reluctance to learn from the South African experience. For CBS Mornings, Deborah Pata, Johannesburg.
Deborah Pata, thank you. Now an update on the story we brought you last month, a warning that AT&T and Verizon's latest 5G mobile service could cause airline havoc tomorrow when it's expected to go live across the U.S. Airline executives claim that hundreds of thousands of flights could be grounded because of the technology that can interfere with the plane's landing instruments. Airports are already stressed by winter weather, pandemic staff shortages, and supply chain issues. Errol Barnett is at Washington's Reagan National Airport. Errol, give us some good news. I feel like Chicken Little. The sky is falling.
I know, Nate. Hey there, good morning. Look, 5G technology kicks in at airports across the country tomorrow, and airlines are currently warning that interference on its C-band spectrum could impact close to half of commercial and cargo flights. Now, on Sunday, the FAA made a special approval for almost half of commercial flights to operate at about 54% of airports across the country with this technology. And earlier this month, AT&T and Verizon delayed the 5G rollout to negotiate so-called buffer zones around many airports. Still, airlines just don't think this is enough. They're warning that sensitive flight instruments like autopilot and terrain warning may be compromised in low visibility conditions, which we've seen in the Northeast this week. They're asking for lower 5G strength around 50 airports. Now, AT&T and Verizon haven't responded to airlines raising the alarm about this in recent days, but these comms companies point to the technology rolling out in 40 other countries without any aviation issues. So they think things will be fine. However, airlines are warning that they may need to cut many U.S.-bound international flight scale beginning tomorrow.
Earl, this is very, very frightening to all of us sitting here. Thank you so much. I just think when airlines raise the flag and say and use words like catastrophic, people should pay attention to that until it's all worked out.
Because I don't see why the airlines would overstate this.
No.
They want people on planes.
No.
And now with the weather and also the staff shortages, I flew in last night and you can see visibly that they are struggling just to get through because they don't have enough people that are working at these gates.
It's very, very concerning. We are learning more about the Texas synagogue standoff from one of the people held hostage. He's sharing details about the suspect's behaviors. Their ordeal stretched to nearly 11 hours, and it's even more terrifying than what we've heard before it came to a very dramatic end. Omar Villafranca is in Colleyville, Texas, with the latest from this investigation. Omar, good morning to you.
Good morning. We just learned that in 2020, the suspect was known to British intelligence, but they no longer considered him a threat when he got on a plane to come here to the U.S. That's according to the BBC. We also know that Akram's two sons were detained and questioned by police in England. And finally, we're hearing from hostages about the final moments when they made their brave escape.
It was very real. We were all very aware of what was going on.
In an interview with CBS station KTVT, hostage Jeffrey Cohen described being held at gunpoint for nearly 11 hours and what he thought might be his final moments at Congregation Beth Israel.
It was very difficult. I called my wife, I called my daughter, called my son. This is what's going on. I love you. And remember me?
One of the hostages was released at 5 p.m. local time, but as negotiations dragged from day to night, Cohen said that Akram grew more belligerent.
He started spouting for a good few minutes. I was going to put a bullet in each of us, whereas earlier in the day, he was going to let us all go, and he was the only one who was going to die.
But before the FBI's elite tactical unit went in, the three remaining hostages saw an opportunity to save themselves.
But he put his gun down to pour some soda. And that's the point that Rabbi Charlie threw the chair and yelled, run.
This is how Rabbi Charlie Citron Walker described it to CBS Mornings on Monday.
The exit wasn't too far away. I told them to go. I threw a chair at the gunman. And I headed for the door. And all three of us were able to get out without even a shot being fired.
The three escaped through a side door, and the FBI sprang into action. Within seconds, Akram was shot dead. The hostages alive and free. Members of the synagogue had been through active shooter training, much like this, and credit that in part for getting through the ordeal.
That is what saved our lives.
Meanwhile, the FBI and DHS are warning that faith-based communities will likely continue to be targets of violence by both domestic extremists and those inspired by foreign terrorists. Those targets to be used in attacks to promote personal grievances or ideologies.
The FBI is now combing through the suspect's financial records and social contacts to see if they can find any links to extremists. There was a healing service last night in nearby Southlake, and officials there were pointing to the rise of radicalization during the pandemic, and they also say they are vowing to protect places of worship. Tony?
Yeah, well, healing is what we need, Omar. We're all shaking our head here at the table thinking about schools and now houses of worship, both training for active shooter events. It's a terrible condition in our country. Thank you. We are going to move to Washington, though, where Senate Democrats plan to start debating on a new voting rights bill, and they will try to change Senate rules to get this thing passed, although we got to point out it is not likely to happen because of opposition from all 50 Republicans plus two Democrats. But for more on all of it, let's go to Ed O'Keefe at the White House. Ed, good morning. What do we know?
Good morning, Tony. As you said, Senate expected to begin formal debate on the legislation later today. And while it's a top Democratic Party priority, the president's struggling to convince members of his own party to change the rules and get it done.
What do we want?
Activists have spent the last few days trying to rally support for new voting reform legislation. And so has President Biden.
It's about two insidious things, voter suppression and election subversion.
The legislation would establish national early voting and vote-by-mail standards, make Election Day a national holiday, and require certain states to get clearance from the Justice Department before making changes to local election laws.
What they want to do is just basically have the federal government take over all elections in the United States.
It comes as at least 19 mostly Republican-controlled states have passed restrictive voting laws in the last year. And no GOP senator is expected to support the voting rights bill.
What is the benefit of actually holding the vote?
One of the two major political parties in America has now said that it is their policy to win by keeping American citizens from voting. And we ought to put them on the record, make them vote on that.
But Republicans aren't the only problem. While Democrats, Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona and Joe Manchin of West Virginia, support the legislation, they don't support scrapping a rule requiring that at least 60 senators agree to hold a final vote on the bill. Civil rights activists are hoping to change their minds.
Senator Sinema, Senator Manchin, our future hinges on your decision, and history will remember what choice you make.
Now, you might be wondering, why is the president focused on this issue if defeat is almost completely certain? Well, take a look at this new CBS News poll. We asked Americans, is the Biden administration focused too much, just about enough, or not enough on the issue of voting rights and access? Turns out one-third say the Biden administration's focused on the issue about the right amount. 4 in 10 say he's not focused on it enough. That's a sign that even in the face of defeat, given the Americans are going to give him credit for at least trying. Tony?
Yeah. It's a reason to get on the record. Ed, thank you very much. And speaking of getting on the record, Senator Elizabeth Warren will be here with us in our next hour. We're going to talk about voting rights legislation and other top priorities that Democrats have so far at least not been able to pass.
This morning, we have a follow-up on the story that we showed you yesterday. Remember this unbelievable video of train tracks in Los Angeles littered with open packages. Thieves are stealing and emptying containers filled with consumer goods, everything from electronics to medications to even COVID test kits. The Union Pacific Railroad says it's trying to protect its cargo by increasing patrols, flying surveillance drones, and working closely with the local police. But the company claims that local prosecutors are not helping. Jonathan Vigliotti shows us how even the suspects who are caught are not always stopped.
It looks like something from the Wild West, only it's happening in bustling downtown Los Angeles. Thieves are breaking into the cargo of trains and stealing thousands of dollars worth of merchandise at a time.
The debris field stretches on for as far as you can see. We're talking about easily tens of thousands of destroyed packages with addresses ranging from Washington State all the way to Pennsylvania. We've seen a number of COVID tests discarded, but the packages with electronics and home goods were left empty.
This is just unheard of.
On Friday, Union Pacific spokeswoman Lupe Valdez said from October 2020 to 2021, there was an increase of more than 350% in thefts. In a letter to the district attorney's office in December, the company blamed the no cash bail policy in part for the frequency of the thefts. The railroad company reported a loss of at least $5 million at the beginning of December. That amount is expected to go up once Union Pacific factors in year-end holiday shipping.
All of us shop online these days, and this is something that we are also paying the price for.
In a statement, the district attorney's office said they make their charging decisions based on evidence or lack of, and they hope to address the issue with the railroad company in the following weeks. For CBS Mornings, Jonathan Vigliotti, Los Angeles.
You know, guys, you look at that, it looks like a very bad accident as opposed to something that was deliberately done.
I know. I saw washer dryers on the side of the train tracks. Yeah.
Original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.